It's a time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks, and he's on the line now. Hello there, Bill.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Well, last week we reviewed 2018, so this week let's look ahead to 2019 and perhaps beyond if we dare. January is a time when many people consider what improvements they can make for the year ahead. So, Bill, do you think it's worth taking the time to review your tax and financial planning at this time of the year?
I'm not so sure that this is an especially important time to review your financial planning, but I do think that many people do sit down in the lull that exists between Christmas and the New Year and the couple of weeks thereafter, wondering what they should now do apart from, setting goals like exercising, taking up a new hobby or planning your next holiday. But because when it comes to financial planning, focusing on just one year isn't really enough. You need to plan ahead for the future. I think if there is a period of time, this is probably the most practical, most common period of time in which individuals do start to think about the financial issues that they're going to face in the next 12 months and thereafter. And so I think it is important to sit down on a regular basis, and why not the beginning of the year, to review your financial affairs and to make sure that you are on track to meet your objectives and your aspirations in conjunction with the current circumstances in which you find yourself. Because financial planning isn't a stationary object, it's a moving feast, and you need to make sure that you're in tune with the current circumstances if you are eventually to meet your objectives.
Yeah. So can we start then with savings and investments? What should people consider to establish if they need to amend or perhaps update their investment strategy?
I think you have to sit down and in an impartial way, and that's sometimes quite difficult unless you're in the company of an independent financial advisor whose objectivity and impartiality will guide you out of often negatively biased emotional considerations to a more practical level, where the individual who's providing the listening and thereafter the advice will be able to understand your circumstances and what your aims and objectives are, and then gradually move you towards the area in which you would like to be. And it's quite common for people to be tardy about making investments. Many retirees, that's a large part of our audience, favour low-risk, safer investments like bank deposits. But if you've potentially got, 20 or 30 years of funding in retirement to deal with, that is actually a very risky proposition. Inflation has unquestionably deteriorated the value of capital over the last 5 or 10 years, and by comparison to the other investment markets of equities and bonds, has performed very poorly indeed. Indeed, the spending power of your money is probably less now if you've been on cash deposits for the last 10 years than it was just 10 years ago. The cost of living increases every year, and even lower inflation rates, which has led to a sense of complacency, tend to erode the spending power of your savings over the longer term. So you have to make enough money out of what you've earned throughout your lifetime to keep up with inflation and to ideally to beat it. And with today's lower interest rates, actually set for savers, that's quite a big challenge.
Yeah. So what about pensions then, Bill? Would a review of your pension arrangements and options be a worthwhile exercise?
Oh dear, today's pension landscape, to be perfectly frank, offers more choices than you can wave a stick at. But this, as I have said before in previous discussions between us, Howard, this could easily change with the Brexit agreement that is likely to take place over the next 12 or 18 months. For example, at the moment, it's possible, if you own a pension fund, to transfer that pension fund tax-free to a qualified, recognised overseas pension scheme called CURE-OPS. Now, provided you're using an EU-based advisor and your pension fund is an EU-based CURE-OPS, that is, and your pension fund is coming out of the UK, then under EU law, you can transfer that because of freedom of movement of capital, you can transfer that pension fund without any tax consequences. But once the UK sheds its membership of the European Union, the obligations to give you a tax-free transfer may very well evaporate. So I think it's important now to weigh up all your options, as well as, you know, the tax implications of importing the fund into the country in which you're living, and looking at whether CureOps is still a reasonable proposition for you going forward with the development, as we can see it, taking place of the Brexit negotiations.
So here in Spain, Bill, what about tax planning? Do you find that people do not have adequate tax planning in place, or perhaps they're not up to date on tax changes?
I think it's quite common, actually, Howard. I think, you know, and I understand it. You know, why would you, having a wonderful retirement life in Spain, why would you want to be terribly bothered about, you know, modest changes that take place in the tax legislation of a country you've decided to retire to? But the simple fact is that these often minor, unobserved tax changes, of which most people will be unaware, can have an exponentially more significant impact on the amount of tax you pay, and therefore your long-term wealth. The job of Blevins Franks is to make sure, through the technical and tax-qualified staff that we have in our technical area of the business, to make sure that we are on top of all the tax changes, and therefore able to give advice and bring our clients who may need updating up to date, but also to make sure that we're providing advice to new clients, which is completely topical. Now, as I say, it's a moving feast, is tax planning. It doesn't remain stationary. Very often it's a moving feast on a day-by-day, month-by-month basis, virtually. And so it is important to stay on top of the tax planning issues, and to make sure that you've moved your wealth into a position where you're paying whatever taxes you're responsible for, but where activity has taken place to make sure that you haven't got yourself in a position where you're paying more tax than is necessary by virtue of having set up a correct and appropriate tax planning opportunity for yourself.
And what about estate planning? How important is it for people to carry out a succession health check if they've not already done so?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one, is this, because no one wants to be talking about the day that they fall off their perch. But, you know, planning for the inevitable, I'm afraid, is part of life. You know, there is a huge increase in life expectancy. And indeed, I read recently that the life expectancy that one might have in Spain is slightly longer than you might have had if you were still living in the UK. And you might blame the diet and the weather of the UK for that. I'm not sure. But life expectancy, whilst it's increasing, but there isn't an excuse really to put off estate planning. None of us know when the inevitable will occur. But what you need to do really is to set about defining your goals. Who is it that you want to inherit your estate, and in what proportions, and in what time scale? Are you able to plan how and when they will receive their inheritance? It's a vitally important characteristic of estate planning that you work out the what ifs of life, to make sure that if you're leaving a benefit to somebody, that you aren't creating a bigger problem than if you hadn't left them that benefit in the first place. I mean, a simple example is if you are unwell and your life is coming to an end in the not too distant future, and you suddenly become aware that your son or your daughter are now living in an unhappy marriage and they're about to be divorced, and that the inheritance your child might receive may very well be dissipated by 50% as the other spouse departs. What do you want to do in those circumstances? These are all considerations that you have to make when you're actually talking about your succession planning. But you need to understand what the succession laws say, and what the inheritance taxes are in the country in which you live, and anywhere else that you've got assets or heirs. You may very well still be a UK domicile and therefore liable to UK inheritance tax. And if that's the case, and you're a resident of Spain, you might very well be liable for tax on the same assets twice over, unless you've organised your affairs in such a way to avoid that hairy risk of having a liability in both places. You will probably only end up paying tax in one of the jurisdictions, but it takes time to sort that out, and you will end up inevitably paying tax in the most expensive of the jurisdictions of the two.
So, Bill, what is your advice to listeners on how to conduct a thorough review of their finances?
Well, as I said, I think I inferred that regular tax reviews are crucial to ensure that your investments and your wealth are managed and arranged in the most suitable way to limit your liabilities to taxation, for income tax, for capital gains tax if you're an investor, and for, of course, estate taxes. with automatic information exchange and the regime of the Common Reporting Standard well underway, it is now more important perhaps than ever, with over 100 countries, including Spain and the UK, already sharing data on residents' overseas income and assets, with more joining each year. So your local tax office will be receiving financial information about you without having to even ask for it. And remember, in extreme cases, tax evasion can result in prosecution, even if it's unintentional. And it's important, really, therefore, to sit down with objectivity and impartiality to establish and arrange your affairs in such a way that you are completely legal, that you pay all the taxes that are due unto Caesar, but, and not a penny more. And that is something that Blevins Franks have been doing for 40 years. And to be perfectly honest, meeting with Blevins Franks in an objective and impartial way to discuss and how and establish how you might set up your affairs is probably a very worthwhile first step in carrying out your review, so that you are getting the advice that is current for the moment, and know that in the future that advice will be updated as things change.
Excellent. So how can our listeners get in touch with Blevins Franks?
Yeah, I think the website is a good first port of call at www.blevinsfranks.com. The office addresses throughout Spain, and the names and details and small biopic of all the staff is on that website. If you are interested in carrying out a review of your affairs, then please don't hesitate to contact the office. They'd be pleased to hear from you.
Thank you very much, Bill. We'll talk again at the same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Take care and have a good week.